Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So we're going to continue today speaking on our kingdom culture values. And it's a beautiful segue where we're at in the life of the church on what this kingdom culture value is. See, I'm going to introduce it in a moment. It's probably already appeared on the screen behind me. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about on one of our kingdom culture values, love gives generously. Am I growing in my generosity? And often when we look at that particular value, we think of it in terms of money. Where am I giving my money? But the Lord had painted a different perspective of that is how are we giving people their identity, their voice, their seat at the table? And I spoke on the story of John chapter 8 when the woman was caught in adultery, how Jesus convicted both the Pharisee and the woman alike, but didn't condemn any. And he gave her her autonomy, her identity, her sense of agency. And so that gift, what is given, what we do with that matters. And so today we're speaking on freedom is a responsibility. And so the question that comes with that is, how am I stewarding my freedom? See, when we think about this, you know, we heard about the famous scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It was a gift. What he's given us is not earned on merit. It's not earned on talent. It's not earned on eloquence, but it's freely given from a loving father who loved his greatest creation, you and I. And so what is given with that, we are custodians of that. We are custodians of the very time gift that God has given us. And however long that we have, the average lifespans change all the time. And, you know, I don't know, like Methuselah was 900 something years. I don't know what we are now, but sometimes some days feel like 900 years. But that little bit of time that we are given, what we do with that matters. You, for those that have been around here long enough, you know that I'm a sucker for legacy. And for me, I don't want to look back on my life at my accolades. I want to look back at my life on the impact that I had on the very people that God entrusted into my care. And so whenever we think of this term, I always think of this one line. I can do whatever I want. We heard that one before? Parents probably hear it on the daily. I hear it on the daily. I can do whatever I want. And, you know, I funny enough, I actually shared this and the Lord just put on my heart to share a different variation of it. But I shared this with our youth a few months ago. And so for those that were there, you're hearing it again. But it's good to hear it again, especially if you're young. You need to get it in your mind there. But whenever I think about I can do whatever I want, I go back to the year 2000. You know, for me, I remember I was a 15-year-old young man. I had just made it into the Victorian handball team. Now, whenever I tell people handball, I'm like all impressed about it. And people think it's downball, but it's not downball. It's not like king, queen, dunce, jack, whatever it's called. Handball is like the second biggest sport in Europe. It's basically soccer with your hands. It's not big here, but I think our school started. We had a few people from our church actually represent Australia there as well. But I remember I had made the under 21 team as a Victorian state goalkeeper. As a 15-year-old boy, I was wrapped. I was ready to go. And I still remember, funny enough, it's almost 24 years to the day, October the 7th of 2000, it's my first day of training and I get my bike and I've got my school bag on the front. I've got my sports bag on the back and I'm going to ride my bike to school. And I'm like, I'm going for it. And I remember my mom. See, praise the Lord for the wisdom of parents. I know younger people, I know it might seem like we know more, but trust the wisdom of your parents. My mom said, do you think it's a good idea? She was home that day. Do you think it's a good idea to ride your bike with those two bags? I can do whatever I want. I'm the state goalkeeper, mum. Yes. Not under the household, but you know, she's like, all right, do what you got to do. So I'm riding and it was a fairly windy day, which is very common in Melbourne. And I was riding down a hill, like it's a slight little hill. And as I'm riding, unbeknownst to me, the bag on my back, it gets caught in the spokes of my tire. So all of a sudden, I like to think I was doing 60K an hour. I was probably doing like 5K an hour, let's be honest. All of a sudden, I just see myself going into the air, about to smash my face. I put my hand up and I fall. Now, naturally, like any well-responsible person would do, I got up and I'm like, did anyone see that? Cool, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I rode to school and then I'm like, oh no, I lost my lock. So I had to ride all the way back, not realizing that my right index finger was becoming blacker by the second. and was dangling. Sorry for the info. Those that are nurses, like, I've seen worse. Those that aren't, like, a bit queasy like me, that's as graphic as I'll go. I ride home and my mum's like, what are you doing? Oh, I forgot something. Even though it's clear I've got, like, you know, bitumen all over my shirt, I forgot something. I didn't realise my shirt was dirty, mum. And I go back to school and I carry on, like, but then I'm like, I can't open my locker. I can't do anything. So I go to the sick bay. And the nurse at the sick bay is like, I think you should go to a doctor. This doesn't look sprained. Because, like, I've played basketball, I sprained my finger. As my finger's like that. maybe you should go to the doctor. I can do whatever I want. I'm fine. But then I notice I'm probably not fine. And then there comes a point in time where you've got to take a bit of responsibility. And I'm like, that night, I'm like, oh, dad, mama, I think I might have, like, slightly hurt my hand and my fingers like this. And we go straight to the GP. And the GP's like, you need surgery as soon as possible or we're going to amputate your finger. Now it got real. And so the very next morning, Sunshine Hospital, get surgery. I'm like, how bad can it be? It's just an index finger. Turns out it can be pretty bad. It wasn't a clean break, and I've got the little scarring and the little pin there of where they put the pin in. And for 3 months, I had to live my life left-handed. Now I'm a right-hander. So I had to do my exams left-handed. I had to do everything left-handed. It was very difficult to have to readjust and learn. But thankfully, I didn't lose the finger. But the pain that it brought, something so little, the choice that led to something so little, actually had a big impact on my body and how I function. Here I found myself in exams falling behind because I couldn't write as quick. And my focus wasn't so much on what I had learned and attained, but it was more on having to get things done. So my marks were dropping. I was disappointed I wasn't able to go on that trip to be able to go and represent the state. And there was a lot of things that it affected. But I learned a hard lesson that day. That just because I can do whatever I want doesn't mean that I should and that it's always going to work out well for me. And the second thing that I learned is I had to take ownership for the decisions that I made. See, when we think about this value, and even now, look, I can still kind of move it. I can't fully bend it. And when it gets cold, it does hurt a little bit. But that's probably more in my mind. But it's one of those things that reminds of that story when I tell my kids, when they're like, Mom, Dad, I can do whatever I want. This is the result. Yeah, just careful, all right? Calm your farm. See, freedom is a result of Jesus dying on the cross for us. See, we're no longer slaves, we're set free, yes. Right? And in unpacking this kingdom culture value, we've got to start by the verse that we attach to this kingdom culture value. See, every value that we have has a verse that's attached to it. And the one that's attached to this one is Galatians 5:13, which says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." So the first thing that we understand about what freedom, when we think about freedom is a responsibility, is the first thing that we see is that freedom is a gift. See, Paul unpacks it here. He's brethren. He's talking to family. He's talking to us. See, Paul says at various times that we're no longer slaves, but sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Therefore, if we're sons and daughters, we can cry out to Heavenly Father, Abba, Papa. Not as a distant being, but as a close proximity of a father that's there with us. So if he addresses us firstly then as family, then he talks about the word liberty. Liberty meaning freedom. It's a freedom of choice. Choice requires wisdom. See, what the Lord gives us, we talk about the word unity, but unity without the choice to invest in it is not unity, it's dictatorship. This is why when we read at the very start of the Bible, we read in Genesis where God created everything. He told man and woman, you can have whatever you want, but not these two trees. Because love without choice lacks substance, lacks connection, lacks intimacy. Because when you're forced to do something is different to when you choose to give all of yourself to something. Very different. But when it comes to the choices, so every single day we have a choice. Some are very significant. Where are we going to move? Where are we going to live? What school are the kids going to go to? Others may not be as significant. Oh, what am I going to have for breakfast? Should I go out today? Do I stay in bed today? But every single moment, every single second that we have, what we're given a choice. And that choice, some requires a lot of wisdom, others comes as second nature. But here, what it says, what Paul says in the scripture is not to use our choice as an opportunity for the flesh. What does that mean? For selfish gain. where am I going to stand on someone else so I can get mine? It's that short-term pleasure. We live in a society of instant gratification. And I remember watching a little experiment, I think we've seen it here before, of the whole marshmallow where they put the marshmallows before the kids, and if the kids can wait 20 minutes, they get another marshmallow, and you just see the kids, and then they probably should have gotten that video, but it's cute to just actually see the little kids like, oh, no, you know. We live in a world of buy now, pay later. You know, if I want that TV, I'm going to go get it right now. But then so many, we live in a society where we hear about the afterpays, the credit lines, how many people are now defaulting on mortgages and that because of that instant gratification. And often why that happens is because we look for the approval of others or to get ahead of everyone. We hear that whole line, to keep up with the Joneses. And so we live in that world where wherever we can find something that will satisfy us immediate, we're willing to risk the longevity and the long term for the moment. And yet here, what Paul says, see, it's not wrong to have things, right? It's not wrong to be able to attain things, but the freedom that we are given, the choices that we make, Paul here instructs us not to do it for our own gain, but through love to serve one another. See, Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. In the sense of, he could have that choice not to do it. In fact, he could have. At any moment, he could have gotten off that cross and said, enough is enough, I'm getting down. But he recognized in what he gave, what only he could do, only he could restore us to Father. So what he did, he paid for it in love. So he first served us on a cross. When he hung on a cross, he first served us by saying, it is finished. So it's paid for in love, and for us, it's stewarded through love. So whatever that gift looks like for you, whether it is something, you know, that's practical, whether it is just time, having time with someone, don't ever underestimate the power of time. Let's use it as an opportunity to serve others. Hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that's it, everyone's got to join a team tomorrow. No, it's just in your sphere of influence where God has placed you. What can you do with what God has given? What can God do through you, through your yes? See, I shared last week at Lightpoint Church, the two greatest gifts that we can give other people is our vulnerability and our yes. But again, that's not a willy-nilly yes, yes to everything and then at the expense of burning out. But the Bible talks about let your yes be yes, no be no. See, to God, there is nothing that I can do for God that he cannot do for himself. But all I can place before the altar is my yes. And whatever that looks like, Lord, outside of these walls, where no one else is seeing, Lord, with my freedom, that's the greatest thing that I can do is give him that. But that's all he needs. Again, hear what I'm not saying. In serving others, it doesn't mean become a slave to people. Doesn't mean become a doormat to people. Doesn't mean be treated like rubbish. Know your worth. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. But with your gift, look out for one another. See, what is your gift? Many of you may know what that is. Some of you may not. The beautiful thing is, and I love even what we, throughout Prayer Power today, an undercurrent of it was don't assume, but ask as we pray for people, let the Lord highlight. See, many might be like me. Whenever something goes wrong with something at home, I go to Google or YouTube before I go to the manual. And then I end up back at the manual, having to work harder because I should have just gone there from the start. Many of us go to social media, other people's opinions of what other people do, with the instruction manuals right here of who God says you are. So if you don't know, go to it. There is not one person on this earth that God did not create without a gift. It's a bit quiet in here. I'll just take longer till we get... No, Jax. See, each of you have been given unique gifts and talents which God has entrusted you. One of the saddest things that I see in church, the capital C church, is that we limit the worth of our gift because we see that person on the platform and we're not. Can I tell you that God arranges the body, each one according to his purpose. Where he has designed you, where he has placed you, there is no one like you. How beautiful is that? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But sadly, we live in a culture, in a world where it's like, well, I'm not up there, therefore my gift is not valuable. Let me tell you, some of the greatest miracles that we see in the Bible didn't happen on a platform. They happen in people's homes. They happen on the street. And I believe that the Lord is breaking that mindset in this season. That's why I get excited about Alpha. Because we saw the baptisms, we saw the 14 people get baptized, you know, just a few months ago, and we see the testimony of changed lives. It excites me. So we understand that Paul encourages us to use it to serve others. The next thing that we see is that freedom has boundaries. It's a paradox, but we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23-24. Let me find it right here. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. All things, I can do whatever I want, but not everything is of help or value. Everything could be, something could be lawful for me, but it can actually be harmful for someone else. See, often we can make decisions in a moment out of emotion. And you know, one of the things that even now as I'm studying counseling, but even in my years of a youth, working as a youth worker, one of the things that and even as a pastor, one thing that I constantly see is the damage that the decision of someone back then had on someone that had nothing to do with it. So they could do whatever they want, but there are people now in their 50s, 60s, 70s still dealing with the hurt and brokenness of the decision of someone doing whatever they wanted without consequence. In the context here, right now, I could jump in the car and I could drive wherever I want. I can go wherever we want. And when we get to the light, the light's red, I have a choice. I can do whatever I want. I can go through the red light. And on the best chances, there's no police, I'll get through it and it's fine. But on the worst chance, I can change someone's life by that decision. And yet, in the spiritual, many a time we make decisions without consulting God that not only cause heartache for us, but for others as well. Lawful doesn't mean without consequence. See, again, I said best case scenario. I'll get through it and I'll get to where I need to be 2 minutes earlier than what I was hoping for. How many times over the other day we were driving somewhere and this person kept erratically, I'm not referring to myself here, right? And this person kept just driving erratically and cutting off, and every red light, I kept stopping next to the guy. And I'm like smiling, not him, but obviously he's obviously frustrated. But the reality is he's risking something. And it's not without consequence. You could lose a license, someone could lose a life, you know, it could create a lot of things. So that goes back to the initial line that I said, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Again, verse 24 reiterates, Galatians 5:13, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Using the freedom of our choice for the betterment of someone else. See, freedom and well-being go hand in hand. You know, my mind has been fried with so much information over the last few years as I'm studying and, you know, now coming towards the business end of the degree. And, you know, there are a few theories that really stand out to me. One that really, you know, I've really taken a liking to is more of a supplement, not necessarily a theory, is positive psychology. It's this whole idea of where psychology focuses on the misery of life. What the positive psychology does is actually gives you a perspective on things. And two of the principles that are in there is having gratitude. To actually stop and savor, to look and have gratitude for things around us. And one of the other tools that often therapists will recommend to people is to either have a gratitude journal, but at the same time, have a kindness journal, right? Do something nice for someone. And again, it doesn't need to be, okay, I'm gonna go empty out everything and do this. It could just simply mean, you know what? I haven't heard from person X for a week. I'm just gonna send them a text and check in. Or, you know, the person at the cash register when I'm paying for my groceries, I'm just going to say, thank you for the awesome work that you do. Little things, right? And what studies have shown is that the more you focus on those things, the more your own well-being is. And then you think about God's heart in all of this. For God so loved that he gave. Even though it cost him everything, he gave it out of love, not obligation. So with your freedom, what are you doing with that? What can you do? Not to better yourself, but to better someone else. See, I'm not going to get into the theology of this one today. It's not the theme, but I remember Shane Willard when he came down and he was speaking about fasting, even the whole concept of fasting, the way that he taught it, the very root word of that, charity, compassion, it's doing for someone else when they can't pay you back, is the root of what fasting is about. That what they did is to live what it was like for the people that couldn't have, so God would provide through them to meet the needs. But we've made it about God, I'm fasting, so you give me what I want. But Lord's like, I want you to fast and know what my heart breaks for them so I can give you what I want you to have for them. It's an interesting one, right? Is this helping anybody this morning? Freedom's about discovering your identity. The biggest lie of the enemy is, did God really? Are you really set free from that? Are you really set free from that addiction? Are you really set free from that bitterness? See, freedom doesn't void the feelings, but it gives you the empowerment that they don't control you anymore. Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat and he was hungry. And the devil promised him the world, but he fed on the bread of life. He had the authority over that. And so within the boundaries of choice, you can really make the most of your freedom. Decisions without consequences would actually make life meaningless. We would never learn. And consequence is not just a negative thing. You know, I asked this beautiful woman out for a date. Her consequence is putting up with me for the rest of her life. My consequence is batting above my average. So, you know, consequence goes either way. How we steward our freedom will determine the quality of life that we live. And so for the last 5 minutes, I'm just going to share. I'm going to invite the band to come up. I'm just going to share, and I'm not going to read the scripture. Initially, I'd planned it, but for time's sake, I won't. You know, when we read, one of my favorite stories in the Bible actually has to be Joseph's story. You know, you can read it in your own time, Genesis 37, 2 to 11. But Joseph was a young man who saw injustices and he called them out. And he had the favor of God. So the result of that is he didn't really care about the consequence, right? The Lord gave him dreams and he just went and he couldn't help but be loved more, right? His dad loved him and, you know, there's always that argument, who's the favorite child? It's the one who's making me smile in the moment. But in his case, he was the favorite. Now, that was a bad joke, by the way. Make sure the kids don't hear that one. But, you know, for him, he just stood out. And he shows us that we're called to be light and not to blend in. And I love that. He didn't do things for the approval of other people. I'm pretty sure he knew that his brothers were jealous of him, but he was loved by God and he was loved by his dad. And he just, for him, he just lived life for that, not for the approval. And when you stay true to who God has called you to be and you show honor and integrity throughout the whole way, even when things around you crumble, even when people put you down, God still holds you up. But what happened to him? For those that don't know the story, well, he kind of spoke a bit too much. God gave him a dream. And he went up to his brothers and basically said, God gave me this dream that you're all going to bow down to me, basically. The boy's like, what? Man, you've got only just had hair on your chin for a couple of years and you're telling me that what? And that this grew. See, Joseph, could he have done it a different way? Probably. See, what happens is when you entrust the call of God with insecure people, they'll tear you down. I was, you know, it's a thing that I've observed many a time. Insecurity projects. Godly confidence lifts up. There's a saying that you can't have your cake and eat it too. But when the Lord is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there is plenty of cake to go around. So part of our shackles might be our insecurity. And so what happened with the brothers, he went and he, you know, Joseph had the mindset, I can do whatever I want. And God told me, God spoke to me. It lacked wisdom and maturity. And what happened for Joseph is he went to slavery, to prison, over 13 years. He chose to steward his freedom by sharing what God had given privately, sharing it publicly. And now the test was there. But what I love about Joseph is that he never shied away from the convictions of his heart, even though he had a desire to be recognized. How do we know this? In the prison, he tells the chief cupbearer and he tells the baker, tell Pharaoh to remember me, forgetting that God had never forgotten him. So even then, he still had those things, right? But he had to go through the backward spiral because what God had entrusted him, he made the choice to do whatever he wanted. It didn't have to be this way. But then ultimately what happens is he gets restored and God's will is done and he ends up forgiving his brothers. It's a beautiful story. I'm not doing it justice in the 4 minutes. But what's it got to do with freedom is a responsibility. You know, in the wisdom of old Uncle Ben Parker, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, with great power comes great what? Responsibility. Freedom is power. Freedom is power. Freedom, what freedom is power looks like is a man on the cross seeing everyone saying, if you're the Son of God, get down. And him saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's power. Power is saying, you know what, no matter what has come against me, my God is faithful. And you might shake me, devil, you might shake me, person, but you will not break me because God has shaped me. A free person is powerful. You know, it's one thing that we talk about with our children, right? Like, you know, I had the fortunate or unfortunate, depends on how you see it, opportunity to go to school camp a few weeks ago. Two kids is hard enough, 107 grade fours is something else. But I love seeing something that is a parent brag. I love seeing my daughter unaffected by the things that other kids say because she knows who she is. She knows that her God created her and she knows that her mummy and daddy love the absolute life out of her. But my heart broke to see how many kids don't have that and we're constantly coming for approval and looking for approval, not by doing the right things, but by making bad choices because that's the only level of attention that they would get. And I look at little Lexi and, you know, my chest was a bit out more head high with all the other parents. Their kids were like, oh, Dad, leave me alone. And every time Lexi's like, Daddy, come, hold my hand. And I'm like, walking around like this, yeah. Sorry, Mum and Dad, I didn't do that to them. I'm like, Dad, can you park around the corner? I'm a bit embarrassed. Thank God Dad hasn't gone over there. And I look at her in her freedom to express. And that's God's heart for each and every one of us. See, when I think about Joseph in his story, Genesis 50, his brothers were now at his mercy. And I, again, not doing it justice, encourage you to read it in your own time, but their life was now in his hands. He could have been like, oh, boys, I'm going to get you back. Played a cruel trick, well, let's be honest, with the youngest, but he was with good reason, but still probably not a good trick. But what he did was, they were like, you know, they thought they were going to die, but he said, hey, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. I've got the responsibility. I've got the freedom now to pay you back. But rather than push you down, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to look after you guys. So for some of us, we might have the shackles of unforgiveness and bitterness on our lives. The shackles of unforgiveness to someone else or to self. But we also have the power, the freedom to say, where I could do what you do and repeat. I honored my father a few weeks ago, you know, on Father's Day, and it's a broken record, but my life is not repeating to do the same things of old, but actually choosing, not getting it right, but choosing a different way, using the freedom to make a choice to say enough is enough. You know, I believe in a few moments, I'm just going to pray for you where you are, but I believe today God is going to break off lines like, this is just how it's always going to be for me. I believe God is going to break off people, well, that's just our family. I believe God is going to break off the lie of the enemy that you are not good enough and that you will amount to nothing. God has given you freedom. you know, because Joseph was free, he forgave his brothers. And because he forgave his brothers, a nation was rescued. What can God do with your freedom? You know, there's that saying, hurt people hurt people. But I believe the opposite to be true. Healed people heal people. Free people free people. And so I'm going to invite us just to bow our heads and close our eyes where we are right now. And I want you to just go with me here. In Psalm 139, it talks about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want you, we're going to wrap up pretty soon. I want you to think about what's for lunch or what's coming after. I'm not going to single anyone out. This is a moment between you and Father right now. That in Psalm 139, it says, before you knew me before you knit me in my mother's womb. He knew you already. So when you think about who you are right now, Father was like, and insert your name there. Oh, I think this person, I'm going to give them this. Oh. Often we look at our deficiencies, but God created us with gifts and graces. Oh, you know what? And this person, that. Attention to detail here. Artistic, creative ability here. Wisdom here. Prophecy here. Gifts of healing here. Discernment there. Administration here. The list goes on. But he wasn't making a prototype. He was making one of a kind, you. Don't believe me? Well, there's no two people that have the same DNA match in the whole world. Or the same fingerprints. So Lord, right now I pray for each and every one of us here. If freedom is a gift, Lord, what's holding us back from receiving it, Lord? Lord, right now I pray that you would touch the hearts of people wherever they are right now, Lord. Whatever it is, whatever circumstance has brought them here today, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge the hurt. We acknowledge that for some of us, Lord, if not most of us, we are still limping, Lord, because of the decisions that were not even in our control. But Lord, I thank you, God, that we do not need to live under the lie that you give us no control. So God, I break right now of people's hearts, Lord, bitterness and unforgiveness. You know, when Gilbert shared what he shared, and still going to invite you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. My heart broke because Gilbert spoke about his sister. And my heart was heavy because I believe that there were one or maybe some here that have had the same thought recently. And I feel Holy Spirit say this: I don't make mistakes and you are not a mistake. Now he entrusts people. People will let us down, but my God will never let you down. It was not meant to be that way, but God gives freedom and people choose how they steward their freedom. And they may have made a mistake, but you are not that mistake. I believe the Lord's healing people's hearts right now.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.